Jesus Christ was talking to Peter, James, and John, and something interesting was about to happen. And we can read about that in the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, and let's see what was going on in Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read in Luke chapter 9, the ending, the last part of the chapter. This story is also found in Matthew 17 and in Mark 9. If you have a harmony, you can harmonize your gospel. But we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9 and in verse 27. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. And among those that were standing there were Peter, James, and John. So there are some here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, that he took Peter, John, and James, and he went up into the mountain to pray. So he's up in the mountain praying. In verse 29, as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked to him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, and this is very interesting, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, or sukkahs, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. They're up at the top of a mountain. If you've ever been up in a mountain, sometimes clouds will be up at that level. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things that they had seen. This is a transfiguration story, and it is an enigma and a mystery to many, many people. What was Christ trying to show us? The transfiguration story in the gospel accounts holds some very important lessons for us today. Understanding the meaning of the transfiguration will help us to understand our relationship to God's plans for us. So today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the message behind the transfiguration. Now the first thing we need to notice is the time setting. When did the transfiguration of Jesus occur up in this mountain? Well, if you look at the chronologies of the Bible, gospel chronologies about what happened and when it happened, most scholars believe that this was about 6 months before the Passover season. And 6 months before the Passover season puts you right in the middle of the fall holy day season. Now notice verse 33. Verse 33 is kind of interesting. Let's read it again. Then it happened as they were parting from him, Moses and Elijah, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. It's interesting. Peter recommends that three tabernacles, or three sukkahs, be made. The Jewish custom was that a tabernacle could not be constructed until the day of or after the Feast of Trumpets. So although we cannot be certain, this transfiguration probably occurred on the Feast of Trumpets. This day pictures, if we look at what the day pictures, it pictures when the glorified Christ will return with the resurrected saints. And here we see in this vision the transfiguration of Jesus from physical to a returning king. This day pictures when the glorified Christ will return and the saints with him. And notice that he told some of the saints, or some of the disciples, that in verse 27, shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, we know the kingdom of God hasn't come literally. And a lot of people say, well, since the kingdom of God hasn't come literally, then some of these disciples must still be alive wandering the earth. And that's what some of the Jews believe, that some of these disciples were wandering the earth. And that's not what it's saying. It's saying that there were some standing there that would not see death until they saw the kingdom of God coming. Now, second point, what did the disciples see? Notice Matthew chapter 17. It's the companion account. Let's go to Matthew 17. It doesn't say this in Luke, but in Matthew 17, in the other account, it has some very interesting information. Matthew 17 and in verse 9. Let's start in verse 8. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is after Elijah and Moses had left. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man or no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." So this, what we saw in Luke 9, what is being spoken about here in Matthew 17 and also Mark 9, if you go there, what was being spoken about was the vision. There was a vision of the coming kingdom. It wasn't the literal occurrence, but it was a lifelike vision. So Peter, James, and John were told, don't tell the vision to anyone until after the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So what did the disciples see? The disciples saw a vision of the future, not something that was actually happening in their time. You know, a lot of people say, well, Moses and Elijah, this proves that they're up in heaven because they just, you know, reappeared on the earth. This is a vision, brethren. It's not literally happening. So the disciples saw a vision of the future. The next part is they saw Moses and Elijah, representatives of the rulers of the kingdom that is coming. Most of your biblical scholars believe that Elijah is going to represent the political side of the kingdom and that Moses is going to represent the religious side of the kingdom. So here we have the two representatives of the two divisions of the coming kingdom, Elijah and Moses, and that's why they saw them. Now, they also saw Jesus glorified. Remember it said that he shined? They saw Jesus glorified, his face shining like the sun. When does this happen? Well, it happens to us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. It happens to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is aptly termed the resurrection chapter. Notice what happens to us when we meet Christ in the air, because these are the events that will happen when we meet Christ in the air. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What does sleep mean? You know, I'm asleep. You remember the story of Lazarus? Not the rich man, but Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. And he died, and they're on the way to see Lazarus because Jesus is going to resurrect him. And they're talking about Lazarus, you know, dying, and Jesus said, he's asleep. And the disciples said, oh, well, if he's asleep, that means he's probably going to get better because he's resting. And Jesus said, no, he's dead. Sleep is a word that means dead. So here it says, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all be dead or continue to be dead. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And what happens? This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so here we see what happens to us. We are transformed into spirit beings. And so when the disciples saw this transfiguration, they were seeing Christ as he was transfigured, are no longer human, but now a spirit being. Third point, why Moses? Why was Moses included in this vision? Let's go to Exodus. These are little hints that help us to understand what's happening. Exodus chapter 33. There's only been one other person that has actually seen the glorified God being of the Old Testament. You already are ahead of me. That was Moses. Moses saw the God of the Old Testament, who was Jesus, as we all know. Notice Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. And he, Moses, said, please, show me your glory. He said, look, I'm tired of talking to you through a cloud or through this, you know, burning bush or these various other ways you manifest yourself. You know, through the cloud in the above the tabernacle and the pillar of fire above the tabernacle. I want to see your glory. I want to see you. So show me your glory. Show me yourself. Verse 8, 19. Then he, God, said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Galileo went blind because he observed the sun many, many times with his telescope. He went blind. We're not meant to see the sun. And it says here that no one can see Jesus in all of his glory and still stay alive. Verse 21, and the Lord said, here is a place by me. Stand here on this side of the rock, and it will be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. When I take away my hand, you will see my backsides. You'll see my back, because you can't see my face and live. So what happened? Moses sees God's back, his shoulders, the back of his head. And you remember what happened to Moses? When he came down from the mountain, his face was glowing, so much so that he had to put a veil on his face. Moses is shown God's glory on top of Mount Sinai. When was this happening? This was happening right as the first covenant was being ratified. Moses was shown God's glory at the ratification of the first covenant. And when the Ten Commandments were given, he was the first human to ever see God in his glorified state. And the Jews held Moses in high esteem because of this. Now consider, the apostles, John, James, and Peter, were going to be shown the same thing. They were going to be shown the glory of God to help them understand what was going to happen a few days later. The new covenant was going to be established when Jesus Christ died, when the church was established. So God wanted to show them, Peter, James, and John, you're dealing with the same being that dealt with Moses in the first covenant. You're dealing with the God of the Old Testament. What would it be like if a modern day president today saw a vision of Abraham Lincoln and George Washington? You think that would impress upon him that something important was going to happen? Yes, it would. That was what was happening here. The apostles, James, John, and Peter, were being shown the glory of the future kingdom, and they were being shown Moses, and they were shown Moses, or Moses was there because he was a mediator of the covenant, the first one, physically speaking. Something else. This was to be remembered. Now, you remember it said, don't tell anyone the vision until after I'm glorified and after I'm gone up to heaven. Don't tell anyone the vision. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 9. And in Luke chapter 9, something you may have missed, but Luke chapter 9, verse 27. But I tell you, he's speaking to all of the disciples. I tell you, there are some standing here. In other words, among all 12 of you, and maybe others, some of you are not going to die till you see the kingdom coming. Taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Some would see the kingdom of God before they died. Now, how vivid was this vision? Vivid, it was very, very vivid. Let's go to 2 Peter. And I want you to notice something in 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Right before Hebrews, we have John and Peter, and also Jude. But we're looking at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Verse 1, or chapter 1. Let's see if I can find this. 2 Peter 1, verse 12. Here we go. Let's read in verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yet, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, tent, to stir you up by reminding you. He's going to remind them of something. Knowing that I shortly must put off this tabernacle. Our bodies are like an old tent that we're going to put off. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you will always have a reminder of those things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. What we taught you about the resurrection and about the millennium that's coming were not just things we made up. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When did Peter ever see the majesty of Jesus Christ as he was returning from heaven, so to speak? He saw it during the transfiguration. Peter saw Jesus manifested as a spirit being. And he's reminding them here in verse 16. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we saw it in vision. We were eyewitnesses. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. You remember after the vision was over, there was a voice that said, "This is my son." This is what he's referring to. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He's referring back to the vision that he saw there in the book that we read. And this reminder, before I die, I want to remind you that I have seen Jesus Christ in power and glory returning. And I heard the voice from heaven telling me, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Verse 18, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter saw in vision Jesus Christ returning with his kingdom. And he's telling the people he's writing to, this second book of Peter, he's telling them, look, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to put off this old tabernacle, this tent. And I don't want you to feel when I'm gone that you've been led astray by stories and fables. Because I'm telling you, we saw Jesus Christ returning in the vision he gave us back on the mountain in the various places in the Gospels where it's written. And we heard the voice that told us, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Verse 18, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. There's prophecies, brethren, about Jesus Christ returning, he's telling them. And these prophecies say he's going to return in glory. These are confirmed to us because we saw it. That's what he's saying. And so we have this prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Peter was one of the disciples, later an apostle, that saw Jesus Christ returning with the kingdom. He saw Jesus Christ. He saw Moses. He saw Elijah. And this reminded him that they would all be glorified just as Jesus Christ was glorified. The disciples, Peter, James, and John, some here who would not taste death. Peter, James, and John, around the time of the Feast of Trumpets, were being shown a preview of the coming kingdom of God. This helped them to realize that Jesus, the being that they were dealing with, that they had the Passover with, that they saw every day, this physical being, was God. And to look forward to the first resurrection and the coming of Jesus Christ.